Isaiah 28. And what we will do, we'll start with verse 16, which is the salient verse, really, but just a little bit of context around it. We read, "So this is what the Sovereign Lord says. See, I lay in Zion a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plumb line. Hail will sweep away your refuge, the lie, and the water will overflow your hiding place. Your covenant with death will be annulled. Your agreement with the realm of the dead will not stand. When the overwhelming scourge sweeps by, you will be beaten down by it." So a bit like this morning, for those of you who were here, that around some very precious jewels are a number of statements that are very, very challenging, very hard. Some might say harsh. You know, what is God saying? What actually is going on? What's the temperature of the people at this particular time that such strong words can be spoken? But we will concentrate on the positive words and the words which Roland also quoted in the Acts passage. I'm going to pray once more, and then we'll have a look at this together. Lord, we thank you indeed for your word, and we thank you that you are a builder. We thank you that you are working, and the backdrop against which you work, we're amazed at the way in which you do work. When there is rebellion and apathy, all manner of attitudes, terrible, sinful, greedy, selfish, proud, all manner of things going on, but you still speak truth into the midst of chaos, and you have something to say into situations of disorder and potential judgment. So as we reflect this evening upon the cornerstone, as we reflect upon what you are doing, we ask you again to work in our lives that which is solid, that which is reliable, that which will not be shaken whatever happens around us. Father God, help us as we listen. Please just help me as I speak in your precious name. Amen. This phrase, let me read it again. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. Now, this is a very, very powerful statement. As we've already said, Roland quoted from the Acts when Peter is making the same statement. You can go into the Psalms, you can go into Psalm 118, and again, you'll find very, very similar words about God laying this foundation, this cornerstone. Paul also quotes the same sort of phrase in Romans 9 and verse 33. And then Peter, in his letter, he also quotes these words. Now, in essence, what God is saying is, I am doing something that is very solid and very strong in the midst of a situation that is crumbling and very, very dangerous, very, very superficial. I'm doing something very, very good. Now, when you look at these passages in their different contexts, you can sense that there are moments when this phraseology is used to talk about God building a nation, God building a people, God building his church. I don't think these verses in any sense are an argument for what's called replacement theology. In other words, you kick out Israel and put the verses and substitute church where that was. I don't think that's in fact what's happening at all. In fact, what God is doing is God was building something with his Old Testament people. It was all pointing to the time when Jesus would come. And now that Jesus has come, both Jew and Gentile will find salvation in Jesus alone. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't still have a heart for the Jews, who were very, very instrumental in his purposes leading up to Christ, the chief cornerstone, arriving and establishing himself. But of course, as well as a word to the nation, as well as a word to the wider body of Christ, God's going to do something. God's going to build something. It's going to be very effective. You will not need to be ashamed. You will not need to be frightened. You will not need to look this way and that and wonder what's going to happen next. You can be in a secure place as a people, but also, of course, very much as an individual. That though we are members of the body of Christ, when we turn from our sins and receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are not just a Christian on our own. We are part of the family of God. We are part of the people of God. And we are part of what he is building and doing. But nevertheless, we have our own relationship with Jesus, which is incredibly important. And it's one of the distinctives of the church, that the church is not just an organization where everybody just sits in the same room and sings the same songs and that makes them the same. It's not like that. It comes out of an individual relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me read you a dictionary definition of cornerstone. The cornerstone, or foundation stone, or setting stone, is the first stone set in the construction of a masonry foundation. Important, since all other stones will be set in reference to this stone, thus determining the position of the entire structure. Now, when we talk about cornerstones, chief stones, often these days, it's a stone that's been put in. Like you can go outside and see a stone, and it may well have been put in after the building or when the building was well underway. And a name is inscribed there, information is there. But the original idea of the cornerstone was a stone that was pivotal to the structure, to the stability, and to the rest of the building. And this whole sense of the relationship of the stones to the cornerstone being important is ever so much what Peter is expressing in his letter. He's saying that we are living stones. We're not dead stones, we're living stones. The life of God dwells within us, and our relationship to the cornerstone is vital. That is how we have life. We have life in ourselves because of our relationship with Jesus. Without Jesus, we are dead. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. And however often we meet with the people of God, however often we sing the songs and say the right things and nod in the right places and all of that, that's irrelevant if you don't have your own relationship with Jesus. This is crucial all the time in building that which is secure, that which will stand the test of time. Jesus is the cornerstone. He is the chief stone. He is the foundation. He's the one who makes everything happen. The dynamic that comes out of Jesus infiltrating, getting into everything and anyone who's part of him, that is what brings a surety, a life, a strength that will change everything. And in Isaiah, we have this quote. We have the same idea that is really reflected in the Psalms and in Romans and in Acts and in 1 Peter. It's the same idea that God is a builder. God is a builder, and he's done something really, really good. Now, we know that God is a builder. We know that God is the creator. He made heaven and earth. We know that God is interested in buildings, not just in buildings, but he is interested in buildings. When he wanted his people to come together to worship, he talked about making a tabernacle. And he gave very clear instructions. It wasn't just, you know, get a few bits, knock them together, and that will do. It wasn't like that at all. He gave clear instructions about the actual materials to be used, where they were to be placed, the substance in it, the plan, the sort of pattern, it was all set out. But the idea was very much something for God. Something for God, that when people came together, they would experience the presence of God. The temple came later, the idea being a somewhat more secure building, a stable building. The tabernacle, the early tabernacle, Moses' tabernacle, could be moved around. So if the people were in this place, it could be there. And if they moved to another place, it could move with them. Probably that's the origin, of course, of Lansing Tab, though we haven't moved very much building-wise for an awful number of years. Awful lot of years. But the idea of moving around, that is a tabernacle principle. But what you don't move around is the presence of God. You need to know and enjoy the presence of God at whatever time and place you find that you come together as God's people. God is a builder. And Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And that is what we're very reflective of in this day and age. We are looking for that building that God is doing, that work that God is doing in the lives of believers, causing them to know him, causing them to develop and grow in their gifting, causing us to work together as a body of Christ to make an impact upon our communities, to demonstrate Christian life and Christian values to those who are around us, and to demonstrate that there is a way to overcome all of the evil and rotten things that are going on in our world, that we can be a people who in Christ are strong and stable regardless of what is happening around us. Now, the cornerstone is first of all described as a tested stone. Obviously, Jesus, we know, and we're looking beyond Isaiah because Jesus came into the world physically after Isaiah prophesied. But there's no doubt about it that Jesus was thoroughly tested. We know about the temptations that are mentioned in the Gospels and how in many different ways our Lord Jesus, he was tempted in every way that we are, and yet he did not sin. He went through all manner of trials. He experienced humanity in its fullest sense. He was subject to hunger. He was subject to thirst. He was subject to the weather, whatever the weather was. He handled all of those things, and yet without sin. He was thoroughly tested. Jesus, our foundation stone. Jesus, our rock. Jesus, the cornerstone. He went through all those trials and tests, and he never failed in the slightest degree. And we're really rejoicing in that. That's why we come around this table. That's why we remember what he did for us. Because we know that he identifies fully with us in all of our weakness. And he understands why we behave like we behave, what we handle, all of the things that are pressing in upon us. He's fully aware of all of that. But he wants to be that the one that is sympathetic, not condoning our sin, not accepting our sin. He wants us to say no to it, to repent of our sin. But he is very gracious and very merciful and very compassionate to us. He was truly tested. Another word that's used in the Isaiah passage, to certainly the NIV version anyway, which describing this cornerstone, is that this cornerstone is precious. And again, I don't need to say too much about that on a night when we've taken communion again. That our Lord Jesus, our cornerstone, our chief stone, the one to whom we build, is indeed deeply precious. Precious because he came from heaven to earth and he lived that perfect life and he was willing to go to the cross and suffer and die for us. That in itself makes him precious. Actually, if he did nothing, he's still precious. But the fact that he was prepared to do what he did for us willingly, desiring to save us, to rescue us, to put us into a very different place and position, that makes him incredibly precious to us. We have no one more precious than our Jesus. Every relationship that you find precious and valuable, all well and good, but there is no relationship that is more precious than our relationship to Jesus. He is the one who's done for us what no one else could ever possibly do. He is precious. And that's why we worship him. And that's why we'll worship him. That's why we'll sing, "All hail the Lamb enthroned on high." That's why we'll sing all manner of songs of worship, acknowledging that he has rescued us from sin, rescued us from the power of death, rescued us from hell, put us on the road to heaven, and we will worship him now and for eternity. He is precious. The third thing that Isaiah points out is that, and it's really a consequence of the other things, he is a sure foundation, thoroughly, utterly reliable. He is tested, he is precious, and we can totally rely upon him. Now, let's face it, we all have times when we have our doubts and wobbles. But those doubts and wobbles, in the end, are far more to do with us than they are to do with the Lord Jesus. He has never moved. He's never changed his mind. He's never sort of said something that makes us think, oh, I thought he was saying this, and now he's saying that. He's never like that. He's consistent. He is thorough. The words that he speaks into our lives from the day we got saved up to today and beyond, they are reliable, trustworthy statements. And we can rest upon them. But of course, there are times, as we've said, where we may find ourselves sort of shaking around a little bit. And the disciples, of course, experienced this too. They had an idea of who Jesus is. And yet, when the storm came and they were in the boat, they could have looked at it and said, well, this is no big deal because Jesus is with us. He's absolutely involved in this. He's not sort of outside the boat looking on. He's right in the middle of it with us. But they were absolutely scared out of their wits. And probably I would have been too. Perhaps you might as well. But that doesn't mean that he's unreliable. It is a reality that sometimes he will direct our life through some pretty rough storms and some very, very challenging circumstances. But he is our rock. He is our foundation. He is the one that we rest upon. We are not going to stumble. We're not going to fall. Because we are resting on Jesus and Jesus alone. Jesus is our foundation. We know that Jesus told that wonderful, simple parable of the two builders. The wise man who built his house upon the rock, building upon the foundation which is Christ, the Word of God. And when we build upon the rock, though the storms and the floods and all of that may come, the house that's built on the rock will stand firm. However, the house that's built on the sand, which is where people have another foundation, another cornerstone other than Jesus, well, when the storms come, the same storms perhaps, the same trials and difficulties, the house built on the sand will utterly collapse, and that will be the end of that. But for us, we have a chief cornerstone. We have someone who will never, ever let us down. And that's something which we need to ask God to build more and more strength into our lives to rest upon him. We're constantly getting news of things that are happening in our world. We're constantly getting news of things that are happening in the life of our friends. Some of you may be aware the pastor at Oasis, Hangleton, who I've known for some years, and he's been a very good friend. He came out recently to Africa with me, with his wife, and with another man called Anton Green. He's not been a well man, but praise God, he was well on that trip. But this week, having had loads of tests and interviews and what have you, he's been with a surgeon who is saying, basically, you have a tumor on your brain, it is inoperable, and you have 2 to 3 months to live. That's when you need Jesus to be your cornerstone. That's when you need Jesus to be your rock, to be your foundation. Does it mean that God has failed? Well, no, of course it doesn't. Does it mean, however, that we understand exactly what's going on? No, we don't understand. We find all of this very challenging, but it remains utterly true. And I was talking to someone the other day, and they said, I was with Andrew, and his faith is so strong. He's so confident in God. Praise the Lord. But these things really, really do come like waves to engulf. Maybe you also have friends. Maybe you have family members who you have had to handle the same sort of news. No one is pretending that times like that are easy. But again, God's word says, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who relies on it will never be stricken with panic. That's the word of God, and that's what we need to embrace. I just want to make one more comment. It came at the beginning of the passage, but I'm going to mention it at the end. The passage begins in verse 16. This is what the sovereign Lord says. That is crucial. This is what the sovereign Lord said. Sovereign Lord means Almighty God, all-powerful, omnipotent, knows everything, everywhere. This is what the sovereign Lord Jehovah God, covenant-keeping God, a God who never backs out of his promises, who never waters them down, who's never economical with the truth, a God who's utterly, totally reliable. This is what he says. And our challenge and our choice is to believe what God is saying, or to believe our fears, our doubts, what the devil says, what other people say. And a sovereign God is utterly, totally in charge. Everything is in his hands. And therefore, the outcome is in his hands. Whatever a surgeon says, they're not God. God is God. Whatever the prognosis, whether it's a weather situation, whether it's an economic situation, whether it's a political situation or a personal health situation, we are confident there is a sovereign God. It's all subject to him. One of the things we do whenever we come around this table is to say, Lord Jesus, here I am again. I remember what you did for me. I'm offering my life again. I'm putting my life into your hands. Sovereign Lord, whatever is ahead, you are in charge of my life. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be distracted. I'm going to rest on you, my cornerstone, my sure foundation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before you tonight. We do thank you so much that you have become to us an absolutely total solid rock. Our lives are in your hands. Our times are in your hands. you have your plans. Plans for good and not for evil. You have your purposes to fulfill. That this gospel of the kingdom will be preached throughout all the nations. Then the end will come. So as we wait for you to send Jesus back, we pray that we will be active in fulfilling your agenda, in being part of your building, not building what we want, not being what we want, but seeking to be whatever you choose us to be. Thank you, Jesus. You are precious. You have been tried and tested and come through amazingly, wonderfully well. You are totally reliable, and we worship you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.